All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the CAGcast, episode number 163. I am your host, Cheapy D, in Tokyo, Japan, and of course, I am joined by your other host, the fabulous Wombat, in the Piqua.
Yes, live from the Piqua.
Live and direct from a hole.
Literally, right now it is too, and I'm not actually too happy about it, but what can we do?
What do you mean, a hole?
My in-laws are moving. They sold their house not too far from here, and they're going to get an apartment closer, and they also have a house in Florida.
Right.
But they have a lot of stuff in this house, and since they're moving to an apartment, they don't really have room for it. And my basement has turned into their storage pod.
So you have all those tchotchkes.
It's not only that, but they didn't put anything in boxes. So it's like my whole floor is just covered in like 4 inches of crap.
That's pretty funny.
And it's like a lot of it is like my wife's stuff from when she was a teenager, like her cassette tapes.
So their crap is sort of overpowering your crap, because I know you got a lot of crap.
My basement floor was empty up until about 4 days ago.
Oh, you should post a picture. I know you won't, but you should.
I might. I posted some pictures on the Facebook of my dinner from the weekend that I think you'll probably post with the show notes.
That was maybe the most incredible thing I've ever saw. I know last week people complained that we were talking too much about lobster, I guess. I didn't think we talked about it that much.
Yeah, I think, we might have.
Wombat posted a picture on his Facebook page. I didn't even know that this existed, but it's a picture of him eating a 10-pound lobster. Now, that's bigger than a baby that comes out, a newborn baby. That's like almost, that's twice as big as some babies.
And before people get all up in arms on, I thought you guys were supposed to be cheap. It was actually bought with a coupon. Where the lobster was $5 a pound and shared with 4 people.
You're kidding.
No. So it really is a very affordable dinner.
There's a picture where Wombat's got his hand over the lobster claw, and the lobster claw is bigger.
Significantly.
Significantly bigger. It's pretty amazing.
It was taller than my child. No joke.
it was funny because I was chatting with Wombat, and I said, so, well, I was all bitter and stuff. I was like, well, I heard that, bigger lobsters don't taste that good. And Wombat had a very good response. Which he's not. You don't even remember what you said?
I don't even remember what I said.
He said, that sounds like somebody who doesn't have a 10-pound lobster would say.
I am funny.
I was like, you're right. Yep. Anyway, we had a big omission from last week's E3 wrap-up show, and that was what Shipwreck and I did on Thursday night, right after the joystick party, and that was we went to go see the new Star Trek movie.
I saw that movie.
Which was a big treat for me, because I can't even remember the last time I went to a movie theater and saw a movie, and we went to this theater called the Arclight, which I think is sort of well-known in L.A., and although I'm not supposed to talk about this because people complained, I did smoke a big doob right before we went to the theater.
A doob, you say?
A doob.
So you saw the Star Trek movie in 1975? That's amazing.
We saw the original Star Trek, the motion picture.
In 1979.
And of course, it's always fun doing that with Shipwreck on a public street to watch him like, can't believe that I'm doing it. And I'm like, yep, I'm doing it. Anyway, the movie was great. I mean, I really thought it was very entertaining. It was a little bit unnerving to see Siler as Spock, and I'm not really sure I bought the relationship between Spock and Uhura, because, I don't know, I can't see how anybody could really want to like have sex with Spock, any Spock, Leonard Nimoy.
Oh,
or
I can.
You could? And you do?
Oh, yes.
But, it's a lot of action. To be honest with you, I don't really remember anything about the movie, but I remember that I liked it. I remember that I thought I was very entertaining.
Well, I enjoyed it also, so there you go. That works for everybody.
Yeah, yes. So I was very glad to be able to see that. I also, on a more serious note, I watched this documentary that I'd like to recommend to people. It's actually like an it was made for Vice. I don't know if you know Vice magazine. Do you ever read that in New York?
I've never even heard of Vice magazine.
It's like a free. I'm assuming they still make the magazine. It was like a free magazine that they would hand out, and it's a hilarious magazine. They have a website called VBS.TV, and they produce a lot of video content. And one of the things they produced was it's called the Vice Guide to North Korea. And one of the Vice guys goes to North Korea and is able to go around and see basically what all the North Koreans have to go see at some point in their life as part of their brainwashing / indoctrination. And it's incredible. It's just so interesting and incredibly sad at the same time, just to see how poor this country is and how they basically have nothing and they're being completely dominated by a guy who just doesn't care about the people. And the people are taught to believe that Americans are evil and Japan is evil and that their leader is awesome and does everything for them. And when in fact they have no food, they have no electricity. It's incredible. It's called The Vice Guide to North Korea. It's in three parts. You can actually get it on YouTube, and I think it's in more than three parts. But as soon as I started watching it, I had to watch the entire thing. And I think it was about an hour. But I really couldn't recommend it anymore. So there, Wombat.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, you should.
I'm sorry. I am literally distracted by my basement floor. It's really I get angrier and angrier as I look at it.
Is there a lamp with like a leg and a stocking?
You know what it is? It's like everything is about shoebox high, and it's a lot of books, and it's a lot of shoeboxes full of cassettes.
It's a lot of shit that you know could just as easily be in the garbage, right?
Yes, although I do have a very cool beer stein that looks like Merlin.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, that is cool. That was my father-in-law's. He said I could have it.
Well, that's good, but no boxes, huh? That's pretty annoying.
They didn't put anything in boxes, and I walk in there. I'm like, okay, I was ready to carry stuff out in boxes. Like, okay, let's take everything. And when things aren't in boxes, it takes so much longer.
I have the best non-box moving story ever, but I don't know if I could tell it right now because it's sort of long. You might want to.
I do have a really nice Iowa dual cassette tape stereo now too.
Remind me maybe next show to tell the box, because I know you're a little, we started late this morning because I had to take Ty to the doctor, and remind me to tell the famous moving story of Freedmanides. It's a legendary tale about a man who decided he didn't need to have boxes for his move. So I think we should move on to some show feedback from last week, because there was some interesting stuff, and it was our E3 wrap-up show, which is, I guess, important? I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, people care about what we think.
Some people really liked it. Some people did not.
Not so much.
Seventh Sage was one of the people who did like it. He said the E3 podcast was great. All I have to say is that you, Cheapy, provide a very unique perspective on an event like E3. There are tons of places I can go to get the good media coverage, but I think that you make it feel more like I'm there. See, Wombat? Good media coverage is not necessarily good. It's boring. good has many meanings.
Is not necessarily news.
Right. It's like something that I experience, except for the weed smoking thing, but it's kind of like an average Joe kind of coverage. I really enjoyed it and look forward to next year's coverage. Well, hopefully Wombat will come to next year's coverage.
Yes, hopefully there we'll will see be how next it goes. Year's coverage. I work for a new company now, you know.
Well, yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's weird.
Do you think you're going to be fired?
I have a meeting with the boss tomorrow.
Uh-oh. Well, if you get fired, now here's the thing. If you get fired, will you like really be mad that you didn't go to E3, or will you just be more mad that you have no job?
I think the latter.
The lack of income would be a bigger problem than a trip to Los Angeles.
But let's not talk about that right now.
Okay, let's continue with the show feedback. There were several nice comments, and then there's some not so nice ones. The Limper says, I never felt the need to comment on the show, but goddamn, Cheapy, please stop with all the weed talk. I love the CADcast most of the time, but the constant weed talk is driving me insane. It all seems so immature to me, and I can't imagine bragging about it with kids. Well, here's the thing, Wombat. I think people sort of misunderstood a few things. One, yes, of course it's immature. This whole show is immature. Half of the show is about duty. And the second thing
is... Oh, God, I was in the bathroom today, and there was some guy two stalls next to me.
Yeah.
And I don't... And at first, I didn't know what it was. But every now and again, I would hear this noise, just this... And I was like, what the hell was that? And I hear it again. It was like someone touching the sides in Operation.
It was a duty detector.
No, it was the guy's gas.
What?
His farts buzzed.
Wow, that's cool. I want that.
It was
like, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on my technique. Anyway, I want to say that I'm not, I don't know why you thought I was bragging about it. I was merely just sharing my experience with you. It's not, just because I'm talking about something doesn't mean I'm bragging about it. Like, when I told you that I shit on the floor by accident, I don't think anybody thought I was bragging that I shit on the floor. It's just something that happened. So I told you about it, and this is something that happened a lot during my E3 trip, so I decided to share it with you. I don't, you know, there's nothing bragging about it. And so many other people had the same comment. Spiny Orman basically said the same thing, and so did Orco60. But that's the explanation. So once a year, you got to listen to me talk about weed. Is that
Mrs.
so bad?
Wombat said the same thing also.
She didn't like it?
Nah, she was not a fan.
My parents listened to it.
She actually just said that you talk too much.
Well,
like you just wouldn't shut up.
Well, I have, there was... Out of the three of us, two of us actually went to the show and had stuff to talk about, so,
And only one of you were allowed to talk about it, it seems.
Well, look, dude, I gotta keep the show moving, and, what can I tell you? I threw it to Shipwreck when I thought it was appropriate.
It's fine.
I mean, what can I do? I'm a dynamic personality.
Move on.
Speaking of moving on... All right, Darkness Bear Wombat, I think maybe is onto something that you just brought up because he basically really likes you. He says, right when CPD gave Best in Show to a bag of weed, I instantly turned it off and listened to 1UP's Listen Up. Waste of time. Keep justifying that media badge, Cheapy. I'll get to the part where he boasts about you, Wombat. I don't have just to address Darkness Bear. I don't have to justify the media badge. You know why? Because they give it to me very easily. You know why? Because I have a website that 7 million people visited last year. And I have a podcast that 12,000 people listen to every week. So it's not something that I really need to justify, although I guess I kind of just justified it.
You just did, yeah.
So I don't know. And I did just do a show about E3 I guess he listened to part of it until I gave Best in Show. Actually, didn't I give Best in Show to my sweatshirt? Also, it was a tie, I think, to be totally fair.
Honestly, you think I listened to it?
I didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
He also goes on to say, just to let you... I don't know. Darkness Bear hates me, even though I met him last year's E3, and he, took a picture with me. He was, my best friend, but he somehow hates me. Just to let you know, Chibi, I know you think you are the main aspect of the show, but you are not. It is the dynamic between you and Wombat that makes it good. Without Wombat, the show is nothing. Vice versa, as you can tell from the previous Shipwreck and Cheapy show, you are no more important than Wombat. Well, a couple things. I don't, the previous show with me and Shipwreck that was done at 11:30 in a hotel room after, a day of running around, I don't really think it's an excellent judge of a CAGcast. Maybe you should, go through our catalog over the last... we've been doing this show since 2005. In August, it'll be 4 years.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. So maybe it's not exactly fair to judge my performance on the one show done at 11:30 at night in a hotel room after I traveled around the world to be there. Maybe you cut me a little bit of slack there. Also, I never said that I am more important than Wombat. I don't know why he would say that. I agree that Wombat is great on the show. If I didn't think he was great on the show, he wouldn't be on the show, right?
I think so.
So, Wombat is important to the show. I understand that the dynamic is good. That's why we do it. I don't know. You don't know what's good about the show. I know what's good about the show. That's why it's my show. I make the show.
I don't know what's good about the show, or he doesn't know what's good about the show.
He doesn't know.
Oh, I know.
You know.
I know you know I know.
Duty topics are good.
Everyone loves poop.
Well, Ionoid had something to say about you, Wombat. He didn't think that you were so great. I don't really agree with this, but I thought maybe you would like to respond to your critics. And I don't even know where this is coming from, but maybe you do, Wombat. He says, Wombat, enough with the jealousy. You are a critical player in the CAG cast. You make the show great. But if you left, there would still be CAG and there would still be a CAG cast. On air, can you please reckon with the fact that you didn't start the website? Cheapy did. And he has given you a great opportunity to discuss one of your passions publicly, one you would have been unlikely to have had otherwise. You are the Jackie Martling of the show. A critical player, and nobody, not me at least, wants to see you leave. But if you left, the show would go on. Yes, you helped start the show. Credit is due. From there, you have to have the humility to accept that it's Cheapy's coattails you're riding and the opportunity. And then he goes on to wish you something good and the gaming industry comes along for you. Why did he bring this up? What did you say something on last week's show that...
I read it too and I couldn't think of it. You read some comments from people that said I was miss. And I'm thinking maybe he thought that I said that.
I don't know because I wasn't sure where that came from. But I thought at least it was
a
well-written comment.
I've never claimed to have started the website.
No, I know. I didn't. Yes. Well, you just reckoned with that fact.
Okay. There you go. I reckon I didn't start. I reckon I did not start this website.
Right. And then he goes on to say, to address Darkness Bear, who turns off the CADcast to turn on 1UP? I can't listen to any other gaming podcast if just because the production values suck. A travesty for companies or divisions of companies 10 to 20 times larger than CAG, not to mention the content is rambling and dull. And then he says he heard enough about lobster.
Did I mention I had a 10-pound lobster?
the production values of the 1UP podcasts are bad? How could that be?
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't listened to it in forever, okay. Which I guess I shouldn't say out loud. But
and lastly, Damien, Damien says he really likes Shipwreck on the show. Would have been nice to have him on a bit more since the Foreplay podcasts are few and far between. Yeah, what's going on with that? His wife is just so busy.
She's really busy.
Okay. All right, well, hopefully...
She has a very hard job. I mean, I complain about my job. She has a really hard job.
She fixes horses.
I don't even
horses.
Complain that much about my job, but still. If I did, I'd feel bad if she was around.
No, it must be very tough to be an on-call veterinarian. I mean...
Yeah. I had to take my dog to the emergency vet on Sunday, and she's one of those vets. So I, you know...
You have to call at like 4 in the morning and...
It wasn't that late. Luckily, it was only like 8:30 in the evening, but we had to take her Sunday night. Oh. We couldn't wait.
All right. She's okay? Everything's cool?
She's okay. She has a urinary tract infection. But you don't want your dog peeing blood all over the house all night.
Or anything over the house.
Yeah. But they can't control it and it's gross. And I have a baby.
Right. Don't pee your blood on the baby at least.
Exactly. Who can now say, hi, Dada?
Oh, that's nice.
The baby, not the dog.
Ty still has not recognized me as Papa or Dada. He still calls me Mama.
When Sabrina's very upset, she yells, Mama, Mama, Mama. And when she's happy and wants to play, it's Dada, Dada, Dada. So.
That's good.
I'll take it. Yep.
That's where you want to be. You want to be on the part, on the good side, not the unhappy
exactly.
side.
Exactly. I'm the fun one. It's her birthday in a month.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Almost a year old.
A year. So she'll be a year. We ordered the cake last week for her party.
Very cool.
Yes.
Let's do some CAG newsish very quickly. The CAG trading beta is up, although there are going to be some major additions to it very soon. John's working on them right now. Yesterday morning, I spent the whole morning basically just going through the trading system and making notes, seeing what needs to be improved. The core is there. It's just there's some stuff that's not that smooth and that needs to be addressed. And I think once the items on that list are done and complete, we will open it up to everybody so everybody can give it a shot and we'll get more feedback from everybody and then make it even better and go from there. Wombat, I moved that iPhone thing down a little further in the show because... We have an iPhone section now.
Gotcha.
Let's do the new releases. Whoops, I already have them open. I don't know why I opened them again. This week, Wombat, I guess the biggest release is Ghostbusters.
Which I don't personally have, but I've been told it's on its way.
I have ordered it from PlayAsia. I do not have it yet.
Now,
but
I know
I'm
that...
looking forward to it.
Shipwreck has it, and I spoke to him before the show. He is probably going to finish it tonight, which means he will have finished it in 2 days.
Okay.
He says it's okay.
Yeah, because it doesn't have enough loot drop for him, probably.
That's his unofficial review. It's okay. He doesn't say it's bad, but he's not like, he doesn't think it's great.
But he's going to finish it, so that means it can't be that bad. Well, he finished
but
everything.
But the game's only 6 hours long.
Right. I'm looking forward to it. I ordered it. I think I'll enjoy it. I'm sure we'll be able to talk about it next week because it's supposed to ship tomorrow, I believe, from PlayAsia. So that I'm very looking forward to that. Guitar Hero Smash Hits is also out this week, which is, if I understand correctly, a collection of greatest hits from previous Guitar Hero games, but now you can play them, play the drums and sing and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's tracks from Guitar Hero 1 and Rocks the 80s, which were previously not available on the 360 or PS3.
Okay.
Or Wii, for that matter.
All right. So, and I think that's the new releases for this week.
Excellent.
That's it.
I think
I am looking forward to Ghostbusters, but we'll talk. Actually, we have a little. We're going to do a
Mario
hype
Cock.
Wagon.
Mario Cock comes out this week.
A what?
For Mario Cock for WiiWare.
Mario
DSi,
Cock? DSi.
Mario Cock. I'm sorry. That's Mario Clock.
Oh.
Mario Clock. I was reading it wrong.
We're going to do a summer edition hype wagon later in the show. So we're going to talk about all the games we're looking forward to this summer. Ghostbusters
Excellent.
Was on my list. It's the summer now, right?
Not really. It's been cold. Oh. The high today was 65,
oh.
Which isn't cold, mind you, but...
Technically, is it the summer?
But yeah, I was going to say, but it's June. It's supposed to be like, 75. It's not. It's 60. I had to wear a sweatshirt today.
Okay,
That's
June
right.
21st is the official first day of
summer.
Yes,
that would be the vernal equinox or whatever it is.
Something.
Yeah.
All right, let's do
solstice.
Some game shopping news, Wombat. Let's go through the Sunday ad deals very quickly, although we're a day late today, so you only have till Saturday to get these deals, and there's some good ones. We talked about Ghostbusters. If you go to Toys R Us, and Guitar Hero Smash Hits for that matter, Toys R Us is giving you a $20 gift card with either of those games, which is a great
Sounds
deal.
Good.
For
That's
a new
not
release.
A bad deal.
Also, it's at Toys R Us, buy one, get one 20% off on any console game, $19.99 and up. And Best Buy's got a deal on the Xbox 120-gigabyte hard drive. It's $120.
Still too much.
And Sims 3 is $40 at Best Buy, and I believe at Amazon. And Fable 2 is $30 at Best Buy and Amazon. Maybe that's a universal price drop by now for Fable.
It might be. I do not know.
I do not know either. GameStop still has it for $40, so maybe not. They're sometimes slow on that stuff. Also, I did get a press release this morning. I guess this is technically game shopping news. There's a BioShock and Oblivion bundle coming for $40 for Xbox 360. And $30 for the PC. So if you don't have either of those games, I think BioShock retails for $20 and Oblivion is still $30. So you can save $10 there.
That's not bad. I mean, they're both great games. You won't be, if you don't have either one,
it's a double treat.
Yeah.
Let's go over, before we get into our platform specific discussions, you want to go over the May NPD numbers?
There were, the numbers themselves weren't too shocking. There were a few things that, of note. First of all, UFC domination.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. I had heard from people who worked at GameStop that they had a really good turnout for, like, their midnight launches and stuff, and it just seemed like that was going to do well. So it sold about 1 million copies on the 360 and the PS3 combined, with the 360 version outselling it 2-1.
I mean, it's impressive. The other thing of note, because, I mean, yeah, there are everything else on there seems pretty on the level.
Mm-hmm.
The Bionic Commando sales, I think, is the other thing.
Yeah, Bionic Commando, when did that come out? That came out in, like, the middle of the month, actually.
It came out the same day as UFC.
Okay, and it only sold 27,000. That's across the board?
That's, from what I've read, that's for all consoles in the U.S.
I wonder, I don't know about that. I mean, it got decent reviews, okay, right? But the
not really.
I don't think the demo did it any help, certainly. The demo was terrible, I thought. why, you know, why have a multiplayer demo for a game like that where the single player is clearly going to be the strong point? Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at the at this article right now. It does say, yeah, across both versions of the game, 27,000. Yikes.
That's yikes. Awful.
That is bad. Infamous came in fifth place with 176,000 copies. It did come out at the end of the month.
Yeah, it was only on sale for like 4 days. That's
so we'll see. I don't know. I have a feeling. I got a feeling that these PS3 exclusives, these published, you know, first party published PS3 exclusives, none of them seem to do like really, really well. And I don't know. I don't know what to really say about that. Except
I don't know. Yes, it seems like 600,000 copies is a lot for a first party PS3 title.
Right.
But is that, I mean, that's not awful by any means.
But for an exclusive game, you know, I don't know. I mean, it got great reviews, and Infamous is a great game. I'm enjoying it, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Well, actually, we can talk about Infamous now. I mean, do you have it?
Yeah, I do have it.
Have you played it at all?
I have played it. We talked about it a little last week.
Shipwreck says he likes Crackdown better.
Yeah, he told me that too, and I can understand where he's coming from. I mean, the game has its a lot of strengths. I have been enjoying it a lot, but I haven't been putting that much time in it lately as I've been playing another game more, which I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it's a very good game, and if you have a PlayStation 3, you won't be upset with that making that purchase.
Right. Also, EA Sports Active came in third place, right behind Wii Fit, so that seems to be pretty successful. And I don't know, and for the actual hardware, it was pretty grim, with the DS doing pretty well, 633,000, and the Wii just under 300,000, and, you know, the 360 beat the PS3 again, but it was pretty close. All right, should we move on to some multi-platform goodness and the game that you were just alluding to?
Yes, we can. The first game ever, I think, in 4 years that you and I have both been, I think, addicted to at the same time.
Is that true? I don't think that's true.
I think it is true. I think this is the first game that both you and I have thoroughly been enjoying at the same time.
And that game is Red Faction Guerrilla.
That is the game. I love this game.
It's a great game. I'm obsessed, basically, at this point.
Yeah.
In fact, the reason why the show is a day late, a very good, big reason why this show is a day late, is because I wound up playing Red Faction all day instead of working on the CADcast outline. And I said, all right, I'll just play a little more Red Faction, and then I'll do the outline right before I go to bed. And then I wound up, you know, playing Red Faction, and then later in the evening, I fell asleep before doing the outline.
Yeah, and I checked before we did the show. I went to Xbox.com, and I checked. I compared our achievements to see how far along we are. You have one more achievement than I do, but it was able to tell me exactly that you've liberated the two towns that I'm in right now.
Okay, I've liberated Parker, Dust,
Oasis, and Badlands.
Yes, so four towns. The game, I mean, here's the best thing
I'm
about
in Oasis and Badlands.
The best thing about Red Faction is everything that it does is basically fun, except for the driving aspect is maybe the weakest part, but it's made up for the fact that driving through buildings is really fun.
I also think there's a really large variety of vehicles.
And you know, if you get into like a big armored troop carrier, you know, you can drive through, you know, big buildings and take down the whole buildings. Driving the vehicles like on the road and stuff is probably the weakest part of the game. But like I said, it's sort of made up for the fact that you can drive through buildings. You know, it's just the physics of the game is really makes it really enjoyable when you're taking down buildings with your hammer, when you're on a cannon. There's some side missions where a guy drives you around on his giant motorcycle car thing. Looks like something out of Mad Max, and it's got a big cannon on the back. And you have the enemy is chasing you, and you have these rockets that are really powerful, and you can shoot, you hit the enemy with it, and like these big armored vehicles, if they don't explode, they'll go flying in the air. And then you can shoot them again when they're in the air, And it's pretty awesome. It's a pretty awesome site. The game is a lot of fun. You wind up unlocking a lot of new weapons and then upgrading them through the salvage system, which you get like basically this metal every time you break down buildings and do certain side missions and stuff. And then you can use that metal to buy new weapons. And I just unlocked the jetpack, which is awesome.
Yeah, I don't have the jetpack yet, but I do have the. I guess we're treading on spoiler territory here. I do have the nano gun, which you have also, and one of the coolest things I think I've ever done, because the nano gun doesn't blow stuff up; it melts things.
It disintegrates.
Yeah, and I'm running away, and I just blew up a major target. It was, you know, there's minor targets and major targets for extra points in the game, and I blew up a house that was a major target. So of course, you know, the enemy's going ballistic and they're all coming after me, and there's a big wall in front of me and one shot from my melting cannon, and it made a perfect man-sized hole right in there, and I just snuck right out.
Yeah, the game is filled with moments like that, like oh shit moments, and you know you can just use your imagination a lot while you're playing the game to get away from the enemy, because the game is pretty challenging. Even at the normal difficulty, I die a lot.
You die a lot.
I don't necessarily care, because it's, you know, sometimes some of the missions have checkpoints. Unfortunately, there's a mission at the end of every, you know, before you free an area from the evil military rule, there's a special mission you have to do. And that mission never has checkpoints, I guess. Well, one did, actually. One of the ones I did, I guess, had it. But a lot of them don't. And so I found myself having to do those over and over again. But I didn't really care, because it was still fun.
Yeah, the game, it is. It's just, it's a lot of fun. And I had, you know, I blew up. Did you blow up the big bridge in Badlands?
I tried to blow it up with, I couldn't really figure out how to do it. I was blowing it up with the remote charges.
Nah, that won't do it.
They rebuilt it, I think.
What you do is you need to use the nano gun.
Oh.
And shoot out the support beams from underneath.
Ah.
And you'll watch the bridge fall down while you're standing on the ground.
It's incredible.
And some vehicles are pretty stupid, and they just drive right off.
Right.
And you watch them fall and crash and explode, and it's really funny.
Have you found the singularity bombs?
Yes.
That's a bomb. There's a bomb that you have to find.
It was the last thing I found when I played the game last, which would have been Monday night, because I didn't get to play it last night.
Unfortunately, you don't get to keep them in your inventory. You have to find them. But what it's basically like it makes a gravity hole. It makes like a black hole that sucks everything into it. So you put one of those inside a building, and then like the building collapses upon itself like a Poltergeist, like the house in Poltergeist. It's pretty awesome. I bet you could use that on the bridge. That would probably work.
That Maybe. Might work too. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't try. Like I said, I blew up the bridge with my nano gun.
Anyway. So obviously we both highly recommend the game. It has been on sale at Amazon and Newegg, but I don't think anymore. For $40, but I would even recommend this at $60. It's that good of a game. It has a very robust multiplayer mode, which I've only played in the demo. But
yeah,
it was
I haven't
good in
gotten
the demo.
Into it yet. I haven't played it at all since the beta.
And my only other complaint would be that the jetpack is so cool, and you seem to get it pretty late in the game, and I don't know why that is. But other than that, I mean, I really can't recommend Red Faction any higher. You know, I read on Rusty's multiplayer, MTV multiplayer blog, that he really is enjoying the game too. And he actually finished it, but he played it on the casual difficulty, because he just felt it was more fun and he just didn't really want to die. He just wanted to run through and knock everything down with his hammer and not really have that much challenge, which I guess is fine. That's why they put that difficulty level in the game. So if you want to do that, you can do it.
More power to him. I think that's a fine idea, actually.
Right, why not?
And it is just so much fun to just plow through things with that hammer.
Yeah, the hammer. Have you unlocked the new hammers yet?
I have the second hammer.
I have the third hammer.
You're better than I am.
Called. Shatter, shatter something.
You're a better man than me. Is that what
I'm
you want to
be? A better hammer man than you.
You are. Please, hammer, don't hurt them.
I do hurt them with the hammer. You hit the enemy with the hammer and they go pretty far sometimes. It's pretty awesome. I want to go stop doing the show and play right now. Okay? Can I?
Yeah. I thought we were done recording.
All right. Let's move on to Microsoft, Matt. I was going to talk about DJ Hero versus Scratch, the ultimate.
Yeah, I don't care.
You don't care? I mean, I actually have DJ equipment, like real turntables and mixer and stuff.
Two turntables and a microphone?
I do, actually. I would say and I'll just talk about this very briefly, just from watching the videos of the two games, to me it looks like DJ Hero is going to have, although we haven't seen much about the soundtrack from Scratch, but it looks like DJ Hero is going to have a great soundtrack because it's all original mashups, and I love mashups. But it looks like Scratch might have the better gameplay and turntable peripheral. I don't know, because it looks like you can scratch any time with Scratch, like throughout any part in the song. I don't know, but that's my initial thoughts on it. I haven't really seen too much about it. And I don't even know if I would buy either of them because I got the real thing and I could just do that. But we'll see.
That was so worth our time.
Let's move on to Microsoft, Wombat.
Now, have you played 1 versus 100 yet?
I did.
And what'd you think?
It was, you know, I didn't play in an actual real live game. I played in like one of those extended play sessions.
Oh, I played in the primetime 8 p.m. Eastern Saturday night game.
Did you get into the mob?
I didn't get into the mob. I was always in the crowd, but I was in a good party. You know, you could have a party on Xbox Live.
Okay.
And it was me and Scobie and Shipwreck and Kamish and Shipwreck's friend that he met that writes for Destructoid, I believe.
Jim.
Jim, who lives in Cincinnati also. Shipwreck actually had a 1 versus 100 party going on at his house.
Oh, Jim was actually at his house?
At his house. So they were all playing, and I was on their party with them, and we were all chit-chatting it up while playing 1 versus 100, and it was a really good time.
Shipwreck said he would have won big prizes if it was a real game, if it wasn't beta.
I didn't see him ever in anything but the audience, but hey, why not?
Maybe it was a different
maybe that was a different game.
He told me he would have won a lot of stuff. I mean, he's apparently very good at it.
It is. It's not. Some of the questions are pretty easy. So,
but there's a rumor going around that this might be a pay-to-play service.
But yeah, I wouldn't pay. I wouldn't pay any money to play this.
We're not really sure if it's going to be. It might be a pay-to-play for Silver members, Xbox Live Silver members, you know, people who don't pay the monthly fee for the service, and maybe free to gold. That could be one of the things.
Is that legal?
Huh?
Is could that be considered gambling?
That's the thing.
If you have to put money down to get something for the chance of winning something tangible,
I do believe that would be considered. I don't know how that would be legal.
So that's what I'm saying. It may not be legal if they're going to give away real prizes.
I'm sure Microsoft would look into that.
I mean, there's already, I think, 4 states where 1 versus 100, you can't win prizes.
Yeah.
Because of gambling laws. There's like Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Hampshire, and I know Quebec is in there. I would look up the article, but, you know.
I would think that, I mean, I'm no lawyer. I just married one, but that does sound like it might not be legal. So, as you know, Xbox Live was down for maintenance, and when it came back, the only thing that I noticed that was different was that if you go to Xbox.com and you look at your friends list and profiles and stuff, they've been completely redone. They look a lot nicer. Now you get your friends list on one long page instead of like having to page through, and you get to see your avatar on there, and you know the achievement list is a lot nicer. It's all, they beautified it a little bit. But other than that, I don't know if anything else has really changed.
It's some things are a little more difficult to do, but it's probably better.
We'll see. I don't really have anything else planned to talk about on the Microsoft topic.
No, we talked about Red Faction. We talked about 1 versus 100. Those are the only two games I've been playing lately, so we can move on.
Okay. Sony. We talked about Infamous. I'm pretty far in the game. I think I'm about to move on to the third island. I'm enjoying it, but like you said, I started playing Red Faction, and that's really all I want to play right now is Red Faction.
Which isn't unusual. It's a lot of fun. It's a good game.
Infamous is a lot of fun, too, but there's something just more addictive about Red Faction.
Well, you know what it is? I think it's also the this is a theory that I've had or something that's always been bothered me about open world games, and Infamous does this. There's buildings everywhere, but they don't have any doors.
Right.
You can't go in one building in Infamous. The guy even lives on a rooftop.
That's funny.
Like, what are they, really, what are they doing? You can't go in one building in the entire city of Infamous Town. But in Red Faction, you can go in every building.
And you can put explosive charges inside the building and blow it up.
Yes, and you can run out and do the slow motion walk while the building blows up behind you.
You know what's even better than that is putting the charges on top of the building with a jetpack and then flying off the building with the jetpack and looking behind you and exploding it while you're in midair.
Game is that's awesome.
That's some Michael Bay shit right there. The good Michael Bay shit, not like...
What you could also do is you could throw a charge on a bad guy that's in a building and watch him flail around inside and then blow up the building and the guy at the same time.
Right. Or you can put the charges on a truck and drive the truck into the building and then blow up the truck and the building at the same time.
And trucks do make a big boom.
They go boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Have you ever gotten a tank?
I have.
Tanks are good.
Tanks are good.
I like the walkers with the rockets.
See, I've only found one walker, and that was early in the game.
You got to do... There's big mechs in the game that you can drive around in and shoot missiles and stuff, or pick up cars with and, you know, knock them around. There's side missions called Heavy Metal, and those are mech missions usually.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that's what those were.
It's a little... They're like... It's a swirl. It looks like a bullseye, actually.
I know what they are. I just hadn't done... I start off by knocking out all the blue things first.
Right.
The blue icons.
The targets.
Yeah, I go for targets, and then I do missions.
So. Yeah, those are fun. I do that, too. I do the same thing.
We're such nerds.
We're still talking about Red Faction.
There's a really good video review on, Eat Sleep Game, the Rebel FM guys.
Uh-huh.
They have a really, and you should watch it. It's great. It's the best review of the game I've seen.
Why?
I'm not going to ruin it for you. You have to watch the video.
Really?
Yes.
Can't you ruin it a little?
Nope.
No?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. No.
All right.
You're going to be happy that I didn't spoil this for you. It's a minute and 30 seconds of your life.
Okay. On with Sony. Apparently, Gran Turismo 5 is ready for release. Kazunori Yamauchi, who's the head of Polyphony, says that the game is feature complete and could be released now if they wanted to. But he wants to release it as fast as he can. But when you talk about its status, it's at a point where... What is he saying here? He's going on... Oh, he's saying they just want to keep working. Even though the game is done, they want to keep working on it. It's very important for us to make sure everything is done perfectly and everything is done in detail.
Have they missed the boat on this?
I don't know. I don't care about Gran Turismo anymore.
I don't
either.
I
think that Forza is every bit as good as Gran Turismo and maybe better. With the auction house and all the customizations of the cars, with the paint and stuff like that, I think Forza is probably the better game at this point. And now there's going to be, two next-gen Forza games on Xbox 360 before there's one Gran Turismo game on the PS3.
Unless you count that glorified demo, which we won't.
No, you don't. You can't, because it's very limited in what you can do.
Very true.
I bought it. I know.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, this is another funny quote from somebody at Sony, which I always love bringing up funny quotes from people in the gaming industry. Peter Edwards, who is the head of home development, says he believes that home is going to sell PS3s. He says it's always been our desire.
It's his job.
His job is to make home. His job isn't to do PR. He says, it's always been our desire to broaden the appeal of the platform, and ultimately we'd hope it would be a big box shifter for the PS3, where people will actually buy the PS3 so they can get access to home. I don't think we're there yet, but I think we'll be there before long. Well, I agree with him that I don't think they're there yet. I disagree with him when he says I think that they'll be there before long.
It's his job to say that. I don't fault the guy. If I did what he did for a living, I'd be saying the same thing.
How many times have you loaded up home?
Once. No, that's not true. Because the home icon appears before the store icon, I have clicked on it by mistake a few times, and I get really mad every time. Like, really mad. Like, swearing at my child mad.
Yeah, the problem is I cannot be bothered to wait for it to load and then wait for it to download all the new updates for every room that you walk into. It's a big clusterfuck, really. The concept is nice. If I turned on my PS, I think someone in the CAG bag wrote this, and I totally agree. He said, if I turned on my PS3 and I was in home within, you know, a reasonable amount of time, like I didn't have to do anything, I just power up the PS3 and bam, I'm in home. And it's like a smooth experience like that, then I think it would be great. But the fact that it's just so much effort to get in there and then to have to keep updated with all the different file downloads, it takes forever. And who wants to be bothered? If I'm going to wait for something to load, I'm going to wait for a game to load. I'm not going to wait for a virtual environment that's trying to sell me virtual garbage for my virtual guy. It's silly. Wombat. Silly.
Are you done now?
Let's move on to Nintendo.
Yes.
I know you wanted to talk about this next item, Wombat, so why don't you go ahead?
I just thought this was so weird. So in the new Super Mario Brothers game, say you're in level 3-2, you're underwater per se, who knows, mm-hmm. You might be, you might not be, in the new Super Mario Brothers for the Wii, and you just can't get past that spiky area with the squid bouncing up and down. No problem, you just hit a button on your Wiimote, and the game will get you past that point automatically. There will be autopilot in the new Super Mario Brothers, and future Wii titles will have this feature as well.
Well, I guess that's a pretty good idea. I mean, for considering the market, you know, the audience for the Wii, I think that's a fine idea.
I'm very much on the fence. Like, I could definitely see that point of view where it's like, well, you know, not everyone could beat those games, and they could be hard. I mean, I had Super Mario Brothers in, when did I first play Super Mario Brothers? 1986. I would have been 9 years old, and I was able to beat Super Mario Brothers.
I'll tell you, on the DS version, I could have definitely used that feature. I'm on, like, the last level. I stopped playing it. It was too frustrating. I couldn't get past it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's all relative, but
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You turn it, if you want to use it, turn it on. If you don't want to use it, don't turn it on.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying it's very strange.
Yeah, well, that's their whole thing is games for everybody.
I guess. I mean, but do you lose part of the experience if you don't play the whole game yourself?
No. I mean, if it's between that and turning it off and never playing it again, I'd say that this is a great feature.
Okay.
You know, it's either if it comes down to that, which it does. It does with a lot of games. You know, for me, I'll just stop playing them if it gets too hard. So I think it's fine. It's a
you
fine
stop
idea
playing
for
with
the
it
Wii.
If it gets too hard.
It can never be too hard. So I've heard.
Michael
Pachter, our friend, yes. Michael Pachter. Can never get too hard. I heard also. No. He says that there's going to be a Wii price drop this year before the holiday. He says Wii supply has finally exceeded demand and that he expects Nintendo to cut the price of the Wii before the holiday. So if you're still holding that on that for a Wii, you should hold out a little longer because it'll be cheaper.
Says someone who doesn't work for the company.
Says somebody who's often wrong, but is a really nice guy and tried to give me a free bottle of wine at his party at E3. Let's move on to the iPhone, Wombat, because I've been playing some iPhone games, and I know you've been playing some games on the Mrs. iPod Touch.
iTouch.
I have a very good recommendation for everybody out there. The game is called Stone Loops of Jurassica, and it's 99 cents currently. It's on sale, so you should pick it up now while it's cheap. I believe you told me it's like, what game? Zuma? No.
Yes.
It's a puzzle game where basically...
Yes, I told you it was like Zuma. It's a Zuma ripoff.
It's a Zuma ripoff, but it might actually be better than Zuma from what I've read. It's basically you have to match up the marbles as they're rolling through a screen.
Which I think Zuma is a ripoff of something else anyway, so whatever.
It could be, but this one is just, it's really polished. There's a lot of fun power-ups in the game. It works very well with the touch screen. For 99 cents, it's a great value, and I find myself playing it all the time while I'm taking a dump.
Excellent.
Now, you also gave me a code for this game, Rolando.
Yeah, which is like a puzzle platformer.
Which is, it's actually a lot. You got, first of all, you should give a shout out to the person who gave you the code.
I will give a shout out to Shimra, who also does the, you ever read the Daily Haha blog posts?
I just read it the other day.
He's the creator of the Daily Haha blog post, as well as the gifter of Rolando.
On CAG, you mean?
On CAG, Shimra.
Sounds like he should be in Thundercats or something.
He might be. I don't know him that well, but...
Rolando reminded me a lot of... oh, God, now I can't think of the PSP game. Loco Roco?
Loco Roco.
Yeah, it's another very polished iPhone game. This one, I think, is $10, though.
That game they were giving away for free at Best Buy.
If you bought an iPod.
Yeah, and we still have... I still have four codes.
Four?
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to give them away on this show right now?
Well, here's what I was thinking. I want more Twitter followers.
Okay.
So you will have to follow me on Twitter, and sometime between now and then, I'd say sometime, since we are doing the show a day late, I will say between now and Monday, I will give away all four codes.
Okay, so they just have to follow you, and I guess what, you get an email notification when somebody follows you?
No. They don't follow me and automatically win one. I'm going to do a contest on Twitter.
Oh, okay. You'll announce the contest. So you have
I'll
to
announce
follow
a Twitter contest.
To
so if you're not following me, you can enter to win.
Got it. You won't know about the contest.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I'll think of some sort of silly question, and whoever answers first or whatever it might be will get a code. There will be four codes, like I said, given out between now and Monday, and that is that.
Okay, and also Rolando is, I don't know if we talked about it enough, but it's, you know, it's totally motion controlled, so you tilt the screen to make your little ball guy roll, and you have to basically roll him through the level and get through obstacles, and it's very well done. For me, it's a little bit involved for an iPhone type game. If I'm, you know, standing on the subway, I don't really know if I can make it work. Stone Loops of Jurassica, though, I can recommend without reservation, especially for a dollar. Also, I did just download the new 3.0 operating system for the iPhone, which, you know, as far as I can tell, there's only really a few new features that are of any interest at all. Cut and paste, which is certainly difficult to get excited about since it's cut and paste. There's a search feature.
Wait, did you
feature.
Just say cut and paste?
Yeah, cut and paste on that. Welcome to 2009. We got cut and paste. You can search now throughout your iPhone. So if you you can basically just type in anything, it'll bring up. You type in the name of an app. You type in the name of, you know, something that might be in one of your emails. It'll find it basically anywhere in the iPhone. That works pretty well. You have media, text messaging. Other than that, it's sort of it's pretty underwhelming update, I think, so far. I would like to get the new iPhone, the 3GS. Because I really would like to have a camera that isn't terrible. You know, the camera that's in there right now is a 1 megapixel camera. And if you're not in like really good light and you don't hold the camera incredibly still, or if your subject moves, the picture's going to look like shit. So I would love to have the capability of doing video. I think it would be great for me because I like to do a lot of stupid shit. I'm just really worried about what my carrier is going to, how much they're going to want for it. The way they do phones here is you don't pay for the phone up front, at least not with the iPhone. They charge you per month for the phone. So they're going to make me pay. And it ends up being a lot of money when you add it all up over 2 years. So I think that if I want to upgrade to the new phone, they're going to make me pay out the balance of what I owe on the iPhone, which is going to be a lot of money, I think. So we'll see.
Maybe you won't get the new phone.
Maybe I won't get it, but maybe I will.
Maybe you will, yeah.
All right, Wombat, let's do a special Hype Wagon Summer Edition. It was suggested via Twitter by Macleshed. So I thought what I would do is, I know you probably haven't looked at it yet, Wombat, but I have a feeling that we're going to have pretty much the same picks. There are a lot of good, seemingly good games coming out this summer, which is atypical, I think.
Definitely. Definitely unusual.
I got a list of more than a half a dozen games here that I would like to play this summer.
Month of July looks really crappy.
What's that?
The month of July for releases?
Is crappy.
Yeah, there's not much coming out in July.
But that's okay because there's stuff coming out, I think, this month and the month after. That'll keep us busy. So Prototype is out now, and so is Ghostbusters. Both of those games I look forward to playing in the next week or so. I'm going to try to pick up Prototype today. I've heard good things about it, and I know I really enjoyed that Hulk game from the same developers. So I think I got to try it, right? I got to get it.
Yeah, I think you should give it a shot.
And there's some people who think that Prototype is better than Infamous. It's hard to tell, like, if, you know, this is like some sort of fanboy type thing or what, or if the game really is better or it's not better. I don't know, but I would like to try it and report back to you guys. Ghostbusters, I should have very soon. Call of Juarez, Bound in Blood, which is the sequel to Call of Juarez.
Call of Juarez.
You remember, I liked that game. I remember talking about it on the CatCast, saying that I played through it and I enjoyed it. It's a Western first-person shooter. By Western, I mean Wild West, of course. And I don't know, I like games that take place in the Wild West, so I will probably have to buy Call of Juarez. And the videos that I've seen of it so far look pretty good, and I also like shooting people in slow motion, which that game also provides. There's a bunch of superhero games coming out that look pretty good. Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yes, I will be getting that.
Yes, I will be getting that too. We checked it out at E3. It looks like definitely the best Batman game ever and one of the best superhero games ever. Hopefully it does not disappoint. But it looks great from what we've seen. Also, Wombat, I know that you love this game, probably. You love the first one, Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, I'm really way overexcited for this game.
That's coming out in September, I believe.
Yeah, no, it can't come out soon enough. I spend too much time trying to figure out who the next characters that they're going to reveal are, so...
Yeah. You're actually having fun with the marketing of the game.
I am having fun with the marketing. I've even played the Hero HQ web game that they have on their website. So there's like you play against other people and it's like a really, really sparse strategy game, but it's cute. So,
okay.
You know, it's whatever. It's free. It's a flash game. You could check it out also if you'd like, but, yeah.
And also, this summer, the Beatles Rock Band is coming out.
Yes.
Which I already pre-ordered the whole freaking thing, the whole big set. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I like the Beatles. I like Rock Band. I'm down with that. Also, NHL 10 is coming out. That's the EA one, not the 2K one. I've switched over to the EA hockey games now. I think that they're better. Looking forward to seeing what improvements they've made. The last one was awesome. I know that they've made it like first person fighting, which I don't know. It's probably going to be terrible. But whatever. I'm sure the game will be good. And for the DS, Wombat, I even have a DS pick. Scribblenauts is coming out this summer.
Yeah, my feeling on Scribblenauts, because every time I see it, everyone talks about how great it is.
Right.
And I feel like every year at E3, there's one game that everyone talks about how great it's going to be, and then it gets released and it's not so great. And
it
my
could
fear
be.
Is,
I mean, here's the thing about Scribblenauts. Scribblenauts is the game where you solve puzzles by just writing in the game. So, like, if you see, you know, you need to get to the end of a level and you have to get up to the second floor, you can write in ladder. You just type in ladder, and then a ladder will appear. Or you type in... But the thing that makes this game so cool is that the list of things that you can type in and make appear is incredibly huge. So, like, you could type in jetpack, and a jetpack would appear. And that's what makes the game so...
what if I typed in Rocket Dog? What
a Rocket Dog?
Yeah.
I don't know if Rocket Dog is in there, but who knows? It looks
cool. I want to ride on top of a dog with a rocket to get to the top.
Maybe you can. I don't know. Shipwreck played it. I watched him play it. It's one of the few DS games that I say, hey, I would be interested in playing that. Certainly, I would also be interested in playing it if it was on the iPhone, and this probably it would probably work better on the iPhone because of the typing. But yeah,
but yeah.
Make that for the iPhone. Screw the DS. Okay, and that's it. That's my list of Hype Wagon Summer Edition. I mean, do you have anything you want to add? Oh, I know one that I probably forgot to say that you're very interested in, Wombat. Black College Football Experience, the Doug Williams edition.
I am a big fan of Doug Williams, but...
that is an actual game, by the way.
I see that. I've never heard of this game, but...
It's coming out in July 15th, according to GameFAQs. I don't really know anything about it. It's a black college football experience. Does that mean you get to bang a lot of white chicks?
Horror, horror, horror.
Oh, yeah, look, I see at halftime, I'm looking at the screenshots now. At halftime, you get to play the drums. You get to actually do the halftime show.
Oh, the drum line?
The drum line, yeah.
Yeah, it's called drum line.
The black college football experience. This is the white video game podcast experience, in case you didn't know. Very white. What else, Wombat? Should we move on to Kegs on News?
I think it's time for Kegs on News. Insert theme song.
Insert theme. Wombat, why don't you, since you put together a lot of these, I think that you should roll with it.
Okay, then. We'll skip around a little bit, because you put in this one, actually. The Madden demo is only available to people who pre-order Madden.
Okay, well, there's a follow-up with that.
Yes, there's going to be a second demo. There's two demos. One is either the Cardinals versus the Steelers, the Super Bowl, with five-minute quarters. And that's the free one you get if you pre-order the game at your local GameStop. Now, if you don't pre-order the game, you'll be able to play the two-minute quarter Giants versus Cowboys demo of the game. So
I see.
I don't see what the real big deal is, actually.
Right. Not much of a big deal. We just wanted to clarify. That,
and if Madden keeps going the way it has in the last 3-4 years, it'll probably suck anyway. So,
all right, if you say so.
The game has been such a disappointment in the last few years. Last year for me was the straw with the demo, with the historical moments that were historically inaccurate. So,
right.
And that was it. I swore I would not buy that game. And if that's something that they continue to do, like show historical moments with players on the field that were not on the field for those moments, I will not buy the game again. And
it does seem that the hockey game, the EA hockey game, has made greater strides than the EA football game.
It's quite possible. Although the Madden Monopoly lawsuit is proceeding against EA. That was happened last week, but we didn't get a chance to talk about that.
What's the story with that? I don't know anything about it.
Oh, so, you know, some people sued the John Madden Football and Electronic Arts, saying that it is an unfair monopoly and that it is declining the quality of football games and that the price is too high because they have a monopoly and that there's no competition. And I am shocked that this is actually going to proceed and actually go to court, go to
trial. You mean actual this is a customer?
Yes.
Initiated lawsuit?
I believe so.
Class action lawsuit.
Yes.
Seems pretty silly to me, but what do I know?
I don't know either. I mean, it really opens floodgates. As far as I'm concerned, that might be dangerous by saying, you know, if a company makes a particular type of game that's better than other companies' types of games, can they be sued? Like, you know, can
I mean, if I have a property and I want to license it out to one party, I can't do that.
And it's not that not like you can't make another football game, and even that, it's like that you have. It's not the only video game on the market,
dude. It did not stop Black College Football Experience, the Doug Williams edition.
Yes, we got you.
They're going ahead just fine. What?
I'm not saying a word.
Okay.
I'm pleading the fifth.
All right.
Max Payne, have you seen the cover of the new Game Informer?
Well, I didn't see the actual cover. I saw the Photoshop cover. Somebody put my head on the guy's body.
It looks pretty much like that, though.
Oh, okay.
He's bald now.
He's bald now? Oh, he's bald now. He was such a handsome man.
Yeah, he's bald and fat and greasy and dirty, just like
you. So he's like Bruce Willis.
Yes, he looks like Bruce Willis. And they canned Jim McCaffrey, who was the voice of the game in the first two Max Paynes.
Right.
And the reason why that's important is because I know James McCaffrey, and he's a really nice guy. And he actually got me my copy of Max Payne 2. And it kind of makes me sad that he won't be in Max Payne 3. So, shout out to James McCaffrey. I think they're making a big mistake. Bring back James McCaffrey. And I think we all need to let Rockstar know that you can't just change the voice of the character. And James McCaffrey should come back. So, call to arms. Email
why
Rockstar.
Why didn't they keep the guy?
I don't know.
The original guy.
I don't know.
They probably found out that he gave you a free copy of the game and got pissed.
I don't think so.
No,
he didn't give
it.
Me a free copy. He got a copy of the game and gave it to me.
Oh, okay. What else we got, Wombat?
It's not like he stole it.
Right. Well, how do you know?
Yeah. The president of Sega of America has stepped down. If I'm trying to look it up to remember what company he went to, it was something interesting.
NG
oh, he went Moco. To an he went to an IFA, the people who make Rolando.
NG Moco.
He stepped down to go to an iPhone game company.
Sega hasn't had a lot of success recently with their games.
No, well, the president of Sega Europe is now the president of Sega of America.
I see.
So that's what happened there. And
seems like there's a lot of money in these iPhone applications.
That's what they're saying. You know, hey, I'm trying to make an iPhone game.
You are?
Yeah.
What
I've started storyboarding.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I have an artist working on storyboards. I should have something by next show.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to say.
Well, I don't know if anything will ever happen to it other than me having some really nice-looking storyboards, but hey.
Right. Maybe I can publish it.
You can publish it. We could work together to be the first cheap-ass game production.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got?
We have... This just made me laugh because I didn't realize this was the name of the new company. The employees of Factor 5 are suing the new company, White Harvest, which they're claiming is really just Factor 5, but they're skirting bankruptcy laws by claiming it's a new company. And
Factor 5 is the company that made Lair?
Lair and the Rogue Squadron games.
Right.
Yes. Now, they stopped paying their employees in November and let them all go in December.
Okay.
These employees want their wages from November to December. Mm-hmm. But when you file for bankruptcy, you don't have to pay them if you close your doors and whatnot. But opening up across the street with the same staff, except for those people that want their money, and claiming to be a whole new company, isn't really legal.
I see.
And that's what they're claiming they did. What I really enjoy about this is that Factor 5, the first new name for the Shadow Company was Blue Harvest, which anyone who's a big Star Wars nerd knows that when Star Wars was filming and shipped to theaters, it was filmed under the code name of Blue Harvest.
It wasn't. I thought it was shipped under the code name Black College Football Experience.
Yes, the Doug Williams story. We get it. You think it's very funny.
Doug Williams edition.
Whatever.
Is there another edition of the Black College Football Experience that's going to be released later?
Yes, the Jim Brown. Actually, Jim Brown didn't go to a historically black college. He went to Syracuse.
Right.
Yes. He also holds all the world records in lacrosse. Did you know that?
Doug Williams?
No, Jim Brown.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, Jim Brown, very prolific.
All right, should we move on to the CAG bag?
Yes.
All right, we have a couple tweets inside the CAG bag as well as regular CAG bag. Mike Werner, this isn't really a question but a comment, but something that I wanted to expand upon. He says, Fable 2 and Little Big Planet were released on the same day. One costs half of what it did at release, and the other is still full price. Referring to Fable 2 being the one that is cheaper now. One of the big problems with the PS3, in my opinion, is that not only is the hardware more expensive, but the software is more expensive and does not seem to go on sale or get universal price drops as much as the Xbox 360 games do. If you look at the two libraries, not only is the Xbox 360 library much larger, it's also much cheaper. It's got more good, cheap games than the PS3, which is very important because that's really what winds up, that's the cost that really wind up, adding up over time. Hardware is one thing, but, you know, you buy a couple games, you know, a couple $20 games on the Xbox 360, you know, those savings really add up. And it just seems like even when there's just sales at Amazon or Newegg or whatever, and it's a multi-platform game, it always seems like the 360 version goes on sale first, or the PS3 version, not at all. And I don't know why that is, but that's a very important factor, I think, to a game shopper, something that people may not really realize when they're going shopping. I know Kags probably realize that, but it's something that you can tell your friends when your friends ask you which console to buy. That's what I always say, is that the 360 has the bigger, cheaper library. Better, more cheap, more better cheap games.
Oh, I didn't know if you were done yet.
I'm done.
Okay.
Neuro Avalanche says, do you think that Nintendo's low graphics, more fun strategy is in trouble if Microsoft and Sony can pull off motion control?
Well, you're missing the most important thing in your equation there. It's not Nintendo's low graphic, more fun strategy. It's Nintendo's low-priced, less fun strategy.
It's Nintendo's high brand recognition, low graphics, less fun,
low
cheaper
price. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, although the 360 is now cheaper than the Wii.
That is true.
It's a complete brand marketing thing. There's nothing that Microsoft and Sony can do. No, it doesn't. I mean, you know, with their motion control, that will stop people from being interested in the Wii. Will stop, you know, soccer mom Tammy from buying a Wii because she knows Nintendo. She knows the name Nintendo. She knows that's a kid friendly, you know, simple type thing that she can get into. Microsoft, she knows from Windows. Nobody likes Windows. Windows is, you know, nobody likes sitting at a, you know, no mom likes sitting at a computer trying to figure out what the hell's going on in Windows.
What do you mean? That's how they look for recipes.
Okay, so they like looking for recipes, but they, you know, they're not looking for that for their home entertainment. And Sony, you know, Sony just cannot compete with Nintendo in terms of that type of audience. Unless their motion control does something that's so incredible, so amazing, and that those two companies can convey that in a huge marketing campaign and get on all the shows like Ellen DeGeneres and Oprah and all that shit, then I don't think it's going to make the slightest dent in what Nintendo's doing. And all that seems very unlikely to come together for Sony and Microsoft. So I am going to say no to your question, Neuro Avalanche. Moving on, Wombat. Let's see. Oh, this was interesting, I thought. This actually alerted me to a news item. Dem Besum says, I was wondering what your opinion
Besum.
On...
Dem Besum.
Dem Besum. Well, how do you know?
I'm just guessing. Like, Dem Besum, big titties.
Dem Besum, good black college football experience.
I didn't say that. You said that.
I'm just having fun. All my black fans have already hate me and have stopped listening.
You don't have any.
Right. I think that one guy that I met at E3 might come back, but maybe
and stopped about 10 minutes ago.
Hey, I'm bringing a game to people's attention that they would never know about otherwise.
You don't even know who Doug Williams is.
Do you think anyone knew about the black college football experience before today?
I had never heard of the game, no.
Of course. So look what I'm doing, a public service for the black community. I was wondering what your opinion on Criterion developing one of the upcoming Need for Speed games, as the Burnout series games are really the only racing games I truly think are great. I am interested to see what they could do with the series, although there is the possibility with it just being Burnout with a paint job, where they could instead make a new Burnout game. So I guess this is why we've seen so much DLC for Burnout Paradise and no word of a Burnout sequel. Because maybe it's just easier and quicker and cheaper for them just to turn out this DLC and then focus on this Need for Speed brand, which used to be very popular.
But isn't so much anymore.
A very strong brand.
I mean, could they just combine them, though, at this point?
Yeah, you would Need for Speed Burnout, they should go.
Yeah, or Burnout, Need for Speed, Burnout colon, Need for Speed. Or
right.
Need for Speed colon, Burnout.
Right.
But there's a colon in there somewhere.
We got to have a colon.
Yeah, everyone loves a good colon.
Most games have a colon these days.
Mm-hmm. A clean one.
All right, here's a question from... So, wait, did we answer his question? What's our opinion on it? Okay, I guess we told you our opinion. They should just combine the two, maybe. You don't really need two different games. Yeah, they are pretty similar, right? I mean, just make a Burnout game with, like, cops, you know.
And well, there are cops in Burnout now.
We got to buy the thing.
Yeah. But Need for Speed is licensed cars and not as many crashes because they're licensed cars. Right. So there's got to be...
Get rid of those licensed cars.
Who knows? And there's a storyline.
Right, the story is what brings that game together, let me tell you. Key V Rain says, I love the show, and like Cheapy, I am anticipating Beatles Rock Band. On the last show, Cheapy talked about the Abbey Road DLC announcement at E3, and I think he misunderstood it. I believe what Harmonix meant was that the album will be available for Rock Band Rock Band 2 a week after Beatles Rock Band hits store shelves, giving people who did not pick up Beatles Rock Band a chance to play their songs. Well, I actually looked into this Key V Rain, and I don't think I misunderstood it at all. They said that the game is going to be, the Abbey Road album is not going to be included on the Beatles Rock Band disc. You're going to have to buy it, unless I'm really misunderstanding it again for a second time. But I don't think so.
Yes, but is it only playable if you own Rock Band Beatles, or is it playable with everything?
That I do not know.
That's the question. Because maybe you don't want to buy Beatles Rock Band because you don't want to play I Want to Hold Your Hand. You only want to play Octopus's Garden. So instead of spending $60, he could spend $20.
I don't know, because they have all the Beatles
maybe
in the game.
Maybe Sun King is your favorite song of all time, and you only want to play that. Or, you know, She Came In Through the Bathroom Window.
I don't think they said that it was going to be announced. I don't think they've announced that that Abbey Road is going to be... For Rock Band 2.
Have you seen Pauline Pam?
All right.
She's so good looking, but she looks like a man.
Okay, wait. Here's the thread on the Rock Band forums. They don't know. Nobody. They haven't announced it yet. Okay. Let's move on.
Just remember that in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make.
King Brawley says, what do you think is the lesser of two evils? Waggle waving or button mashing? Wombat?
I think waggle waving is a lesser evil than button mashing because I really do hate button mashing. I really hate it. I hate hitting the A button repeatedly.
Yes, I agree.
I think it needs to die a painful death, preferably by Doug Williams.
We seem to be having... Yes, I... I think we're having some technical problems here, Wombat. I'm sort of losing you.
Wow.
So maybe we should just wrap up the show here.
I think so.
Okay. Let's do some quick housekeeping. I want to remind everybody to follow us on Twitter. And, of course, Wombat says that if you follow him on Twitter, you can get potentially a free copy of Rolando for the iPod and iPhone. Twitter.com/Wombat5277. You can follow me at Twitter.com/CheapyD. I started doing these audio boo voice like mini podcasts every day, which you can get in your Twitter feed or just by following me.
I think they're called microcasts.
They're fun.
They have a name. They're called microcasts.
Microcasts. I did not know that. If you go to audioboof.fm, you can also get them. And I think you can even subscribe to them in iTunes through my page on Audioboo. But anyway, you can also follow Shipwreck at twitter.com/shipwreck. And you can get video game deals via Twitter at twitter.com/video game deals. And if you're in the UK, it's twitter.com/UK game deals. And I want to remind people to review us on iTunes. You can even review us without writing a review. You can just select the number of stars that you want to give us. I recommend 5 stars.
I recommend 6.
6 might be tough. I think that's about it for the show. A little bit shorter than usual, but not that much. We did get started late, and we seem to be hitting some sunspots. So we will say goodbye, farewell, and we will see you next week.
And now to play us out, David Bowie.
Fuck it, I'll do it live!
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not right on the teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there it is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but... Okay. Now, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay. Ready? Sure.
There's no words there. To play us out. What does that mean? To play us out.
It's Sting is going to do... It's a video. Sting video.
What is
for credits?
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, go, go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today, and we will leave you with a... I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live! Right. Fucking thing sucks!
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.